This is Healthy Together, presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together. Visit rwjbh.org to learn more. And now, here's our host, WCBS's Marla Diamond.
Hello, and welcome to our Healthy Together podcast, presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. Today, we're exploring chronic illness in children and speaking to the Vice President and Chief Medical Officer for Children's Specialized Hospital, Dr. Colin O'Reilly. Dr. O'Reilly leads a multidisciplinary team who has changed the care delivery platform for children and families living with long-term illness. This chronic illness management program, the only program of its kind in the country, began as an intensive inpatient rehabilitation program for children with type 1 diabetes and has since expanded to improve the quality of life and outcomes for children and family living with a variety of chronic illnesses. Dr. O'Reilly, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me today, Marla.
Can you give us a bit of your background and how you came to specialize in managing chronic illness in children?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So my background, I am a pediatric critical care physician and a pediatric hospice and palliative care physician. I trained down at RWJ Barnabas in New Brunswick for my residency and fellowship. And after several years practicing outside of the system, came back to Children's Specialized about 9 years ago with the promise of developing innovative programs for children with complex and chronic disease. I've been here since that time, and one of my favorite programs we have here at Children's Specialized Hospital is the Chronic Illness Management Program.
What are the types of chronic illnesses you see in children?
So as you mentioned earlier, the program started with a focus on type 1 diabetes. But since the time of expansion and over the past several years, we've focused on any type of complex chronic illness that may be facing a child. So right now we do see a significant number of children with type 1 diabetes. We also see children with type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome. We see children with cystic fibrosis, sickle cell anemia, children who have had organ transplants and need to maintain those healthy organs in a medication regimen. Pretty much anything that affects a child's healthy life going forward that they're going to need ongoing medical management is someone who we would target for coming into this program.
And are these children that are hospitalized or at home or both?
So this is an elective program. Most of the children who come to us come from home. These are traditionally children, mostly adolescents, who are struggling with dealing with their chronic illness. They may be children who have been in and out of the hospital. They may be children who have been in and out of the emergency room or the pediatric intensive care unit. And they're showing signs and red flags that they're having some type of difficulty managing their chronic illness, and they're not achieving what I like to call total health. Total health is when your mind, your body, and your spirit are all aligned in the same direction to really achieve your full potential. So we see these children, most of them come in from home, and they come into our program for a period of 4 weeks electively in the inpatient unit. Once they get into the program, we truly treat them with a multidisciplinary approach. They have their medical management as expected, but we have them see our members of our multidisciplinary team, including physical therapy, occupational therapy, psychology. We have nutrition classes for them. If they have diabetes, we have a diabetes educator. And what we try to do is really attack their awareness and fund of knowledge of this disease on many different levels. These kids usually come to us very fatigued because their bodies have been chronically ill. If you're very fatigued, you're not in the best physical shape. So we pair them together with a physical therapist, and they're exercising daily and realizing the positive benefits of daily exercise. We pair them together with an occupational therapist. And the goal of that is to figure out how to fit the medical management of a chronic illness into the life of an average everyday teenager who may be going to high school. They work with psychology because we recognize that the impact of a chronic illness on a child or a teenager is vast. And not only does the child work with psychology, but they work in individual, in group, and in family counseling sessions to really identify how this chronic illness has impacted them. We do really fun activities with them. The kids start their day in a school-based program where they're increasing their fund of knowledge about their disease. We give them tests and quizzes along the way, but we also bring them out into the community to practice the new skills that they've learned with us. Really looking at that total health picture and making sure that we are teaching these kids how to manage their chronic illness in the best way possible.
Talk a little bit about how you bring them out into the community and help them make, say, healthier choices or better lifestyle choices.
Sure, absolutely. For these kids, everything can be a challenge. I'll give you an example of a child with type 1 diabetes. Going to a restaurant and ordering off of a menu or going to a buffet may not be the simplest task for them because they really need to recognize nutritionally what is in the product that they're ordering. So we'll take our kids out. We'll have them order in. We'll have them practice off of menus that they're not familiar with. And they'll work with our nutritionist to look at exactly what is the nutritional content, what is the carbohydrate content of what they're ordering, and how does that translate into how much insulin they need to administer to themselves after that meal. We'll also do what I love to see with the kids. We have cooking classes for them. So we'll take them out on a scavenger hunt to the grocery store, and we will have them prepare a meal here and use mathematics for them to figure out the carbohydrate content of the food that they're preparing and then splitting up to share amongst their peers. Really fun activities, real world practice for them here in our environment, but also outside of our doors.
And I suspect with this very unique approach, you don't often hear about hospitals going beyond their walls to help patients, you have better outcomes.
We do. We actually have researched and studied our patient population extensively over the past 9 years, not just outcomes in terms of the physiological well-being of these kids, but also the psychological well-being and also their impact on healthcare utilization. The kids who are coming through and successfully completing this program, their bodies are healthier when they leave, and we use several biological markers to track that. But they're also scoring much higher on psychological indicators of mental health than when they came to us. And also, not surprisingly, their parents are also scoring higher on a psychological rating scale from admission to discharge. We track these children from their healthcare utilization from before they come to us to their readmission rate and healthcare utilization rate after they leave us. And they are not using the emergency services that they had been using prior to the program. And that's really important when we look at this from the cost perspective and the utilization review perspective, which is incredibly important for the insurance payers.
Keeping kids and families out of the emergency room is a huge goal. And let's talk a little bit about the families. Obviously, when you have a child with a chronic illness, it affects the whole entire family. How do you educate caregivers as well as the patients?
So I'm incredibly proud of the team here. They have created a individualized approach for each patient and family. When kids come into Children's Specialized Hospital, We look at that family's individual needs and educational needs for a safe treatment plan and safe discharge. And we evaluate whether that child or that family is a visual learner, is an auditory learner, and we tailor our program towards them. We test them when they come in to see where is their baseline fund of knowledge. What do they know so far about the disease and the impact on their child and on their family? And then we use that as a platform to spring off for the future. So we start at their basic baseline level of knowledge, and we build upon that. We recognize that every single person who comes through the program may not be a scholar in that disease by the time they leave in 4 weeks, but we look at increasing that fund of knowledge that they came in with and making sure at the very least they understand the safety perspectives of the medical management and how to keep their child from those really emergent situations that may arise.
We continue with Healthy Together, a podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. Go to rwjbh.org. Now back to your host, Marla Diamond.
If you're just joining us, we are getting an education on chronic illness in children and speaking to the Vice President and Chief Medical Officer for Children's Specialized Hospital at RWJ Barnabas Health, Dr. Colin O'Reilly. You talked a lot about managing diabetes, but what about managing chronic illnesses like sickle cell anemia, like cystic fibrosis? Are those more difficult to manage outside of the hospital?
I don't think that they're more difficult to manage. I think that there are different aspects of those disease states that the child needs and the family needs to understand. We've had incredible success with our patients with cystic fibrosis and with sickle cell anemia. And I can give you, one anecdotal case that comes to mind is we had a child who had been admitted to one of our system hospitals 16 times over the past 14 months for sickle cell pain crises. And there were simple things that that child could have done and been aware of to prevent these from occurring. And each time that individual went into a pain crisis, it resulted in at least a 3-day hospital admission. So we partnered with our hemonc, pediatric hemonc docs, and we said, let's have this child come into the chronic illness program and see if we may be able to help him. That child came into us. We taught him about his disease state. We taught him about certain preventive medications and things that he could do to prevent pain crises. We took him to the gym and had him exercise to a point to show him what his level of endurance was and what his body was able to tolerate. And we also utilized a platform here, having him inpatient, to actually wean him off all of his pain medications that he had been on. He had been on an extensive pain regimen because of all of these past admissions. This child came through this program. One of the most exciting things I thought about it during that time was he was going into his senior year of high school. And because he had been hospitalized so much, he didn't have the time to focus on what he wanted to do going forward. He came here, he started getting healthier, and we used our inpatient team to help him focus on applying for college. And he did that while he was an inpatient, something he would not have been able to do if he had been home with his disease progressing the way it did. This patient did incredibly well. And in the entire year after he graduated from the program, not only did he not have one hospital admission, he didn't even have one trip to the emergency room. And it just shows the striking impact that this program can have on any child, whether it be type 1 diabetes, cystic fibrosis, or sickle cell disease.
How much does race, income level, those types of demographics play a role, which children are more susceptible to chronic conditions, and also which families may have a more difficult time managing a chronic condition in their child?
So that is a great question. It's something that we are hyper-focused on. Everyone who comes through the doors of Children's Specialized Hospital, whether it be inpatient or outpatient, gets screened for risk factors for social determinants of health. We know that 80% of someone's health outcomes are not dictated by what the doctor tells them. They're dictated by these social determinants of health. Where is their food security? Where's their housing security? Are they able to utilize transportation? Can they get to these health visits? Do their parents have financial security and job security? So every single kid who comes through and every family who comes through Children's Specialized Hospital, we screen them for these risk factors. And not only do we screen them, but if they screen positive, we link them to resources. Right now, not surprisingly, in New Jersey, of all of the children who come through our doors, 40% of those children have some type of positive risk factor on their social determinants of health screening. So we really do focus on providing those families the resources to aid those areas of risk. We link them to food banks. We provide them with access to resources for shelter. We've actually even gone so far as now we provide bags of groceries in our outpatient settings for those who are at risk for food insecurity. So I think it's a fantastic question because there is a very definitive link between those at most at risk for social determinants of health factors and those who are unable to manage their chronic illness. Obviously, the more at risk you are for SDOH factors, the worse your resultant management is of the chronic illness. So we try to affect that on every level. On the more inpatient level here, we have a team of what's called family faculty. We actually employ a department of individuals who are parents of current or past patients. And they help us once these risk factors are identified to really communicate to the family about their needs and ongoing solutions for us. We've had cases who have come through our inpatient unit in the chronic illness program where we learned that the family had nothing to cook on at home. So for us to put them through nutritional sessions and educational sessions and cooking classes when they had nothing to cook on would not have been the best route and individualized pathway for this family. We utilized our resources. We actually got that family an oven and we had the oven delivered to their house so that we could solve that problem and move forward and effectuate change in improving their child's total health.
This all sounds incredible. This wraparound. How many kids can you can utilize the program? I mean, how many families do you have in the program? And what does insurance think about this? Will they cover most of what you're trying to do there?
So, again, great questions. How many kids? I think that my own personal passion is that every single child who has a chronic illness that they are dealing with should have access to this type of program. It should be where we're starting at. And what we're utilizing this now for is anytime it started as a program for kids who were often in the emergency rooms and often in the pediatric ICUs. But we recognized the impact was such that now we're using it for any child or family who may have a red flag. If there are learning issues in the family with how to manage the disease, our referring sites will send those kids to us and the families to us to say, hey, can you just have them intensively in your facility for a couple weeks just to teach them what really is going to keep this child safe? So we're expanding it, and I really believe that every single child with a chronic illness who requires management throughout their lifetime should have access to this type of care. In terms of the insurance payers, it has been a fantastic ride. Several years ago, no insurance company wanted to pay for this type of program. And we took a very proactive approach to have them understand what we were trying to do here. We actually invited the six top payers, the insurance payers in New Jersey, to Children Specialized. We hosted lunch for them, we toured them, and we discussed this concept and introduced them to the patients in the program. And this caught on very quickly, not just with those meetings, but with us studying the impact on healthcare utilization. It's a very convincing argument for an insurance payer, like the one that I said spoke of before. A child who has had 16 admissions in 14 months, who comes through the program and then doesn't have any other hospital admissions or ER visits after the program. That's something that the insurance companies really took note of. And I'm proud to say that we've evolved so much over the past several years that the insurance companies are actually now referring patients to us. Their utilization review nurses are identifying patients who are struggling and saying, you know what, Children Specialized Hospital may be able to help them.
And do you have patients whose families are not insured?
We do. Here at Children Specialized Hospital, we really believe that every child should reach their full potential. And if that is the case, we do have programs and we can work with them to be able to make sure that their child is as safe as possible going forward and really achieving their total health.
Now, people are going to hear this and say, wow, that sounds great for my child who may have type 1 or 2 diabetes, may have other chronic conditions. Can anyone get into the program?
Yeah. So what we do before someone enters the program is we do what's called an enhanced evaluation. The kids who come into this program, as I said, most of them are in their adolescent age, right? Usually above 12. We've had kids in this program as young as 4, and that was really aimed at helping educate the parents in complex disease management. But most of these kids are adolescents. The adolescent needs to understand the program and commit to it. Any type of rehab program does not work unless you have full commitment from the individual participating. So if these kids feel like they're being forced by their parents, or they feel like their doctor is sending them here as a punishment, it doesn't work. We know that from the outcomes. So what we do is when someone is referred to us, we set up what's called an enhanced evaluation, and that individual meets with our team members and our psychologist, and we tell them exactly what to expect in the program. And when they decide to commit to the program, we actually have them sign a contract that they're going to come in and they are going to put their best foot forward and they're going to be fully engaged in change and the ability to learn to manage their chronic illness. And if they're able to do that, we welcome anybody into the program. Absolutely. Because again, these kids, when they come to us, they're fatigued. They don't feel well. They've been chronically ill. After about 2 to 3 weeks, and I tell them all this before they enter the program, I say in 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to be shocked because you're going to say, I never felt this good and I don't want the program to end. And 4 weeks goes incredibly quickly. What we've learned is the program is very impactful, but we also needed some type of follow-up because the kids would come into us, they would do really well for several weeks to several months afterwards. And sometimes old behaviors would trickle in. So we set up a follow-up clinic. So kids who come into the program, we see them again at 3 months post-program, 6 months post-program, and 1 year post-program. And that really keeps them on track. It reminds them of all the gains that they had. And it also provides them with any resources that they may need. One thing that I haven't mentioned that I think is pretty awesome about this program is that the kids who come through, some of them have never met another child who is dealing with managing the same disease they are. And that to me was really surprising. Some kids with type 1 diabetes have never met another type 1 diabetic. And when they come into the program and they're sitting around four or five other kids and recognize that the struggle is real or the obstacles are real, their sense of isolation that they had just completely goes away. And they form bonds that are really important for going forward and managing, because that develops an inherent support system amongst their peers. And it's really incredible to watch.
Well, it sounds like you're a model for public health. You have a lot to teach other institutions. Could you see that as an outgrowth of what you're doing there at Children's Specialized, helping this become a national model for the care of chronic illness in children?
Without a doubt. I think that that's been my ultimate goal from inception. This is not just for the children of New Jersey. This care model needs to be replicated throughout the United States and then further than that. This is the way to do it. This is a way to get the kids when they're young to impact their behaviors as it relates to disease management and keep them from being those unhealthy adults that will develop. I think in healthcare, we focus far too much on adults with chronic conditions and don't recognize we're missing the mark. You've missed the boat if you're not employing a program like this early on.
Get kids to learn and understand their illness before adulthood. It's the only program of its kind in the country, but I'm sure that it will soon be a model for other hospitals and other health systems throughout the country. Dr. Colin O'Reilly, the Vice President and Chief Medical Officer for Children's Specialized Hospital, thank you for your time and insight.
You are very welcome. Thanks for covering this really important topic. Much appreciated.
I'm Marla Diamond. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the RWJ Barnabas Health Healthy Together podcast, brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together. Visit them and learn more at rwjbh.org.